Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Here we are. It is program 295 in the series. It is June 24th. It's a Sunday night. We have a two-hour show for you. We're going to have two classic radio shows. We have Lisa Wolf to my right. What's up, Lisa?
What's up, Carl?
My co-host. We have Mike Costella in the studio, our executive producer. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys.
We have Ashley Byhan as our producer. And I'll tell you what, we've got a crack-er-jack team. Cracker Jack.
Got it.
Right?
Do you get a prize with that?
Yes, you get a prize
Good.
With that. The prize is two classic radio shows, The Adventures of the Thin Man from 1948. I wonder if he actually was thin, though, when he was doing this show.
You know,
it was
that's,
radio.
That's
so really,
the thing about radio.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, sometimes...
He could have been a really kind of an overweight guy kind, playing the thin man.
Don't you
kind of
like that people can use your imagination
yes.
and they don't know what you look like?
Exactly. Then we have Duffy's Tavern from 1945, my brother Vince's favorite classic radio
show. It's a good one.
So we have a great lineup, and we have a great game sponsored by Cat's Pride. It's called Cat's Pride Crack the Quote. What's the movie, Lisa?
The movie is Cool Hand Luke from 1967.
Wow, all right.
And the winner is going to get a family pack of four general admissions to Sycamore Speedway. Don't say it.
All right, I won't say
okay,
it.
Okay, and we...
Sycamore
there he goes.
Speedway.
Couldn't help it, I tried.
And Suckering Succotash.
We ready to go?
Yes.
Okay, and we're going to look for caller number six. They can call in now, 312-981-7200.
312-981, I say 7200, and she says 7200.
And that's what
but
makes the world go
yeah,
round.
I guess
7200.
Yeah, 7200. All right, call a six caller. We're going to play live on the air. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we have John on the phone tonight. Hi, John. We have John. Ashley, where's John? He's here.
You
with
there,
us?
John? No, I don't hear him, but it says phone. It's up. I don't know where John is. All right, well, let's play the game.
All right, we'll see if we can find him in the next few seconds. The movie is Cool Hand Luke, and I will start with the quotes. Quote number one, you're going to get used to wearing them chains after a while, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Quote number two, you got to forge the chains you wear in life, Luke. Number three, Luke, you be like the weakest link after all. Carl, what do you think?
Can Sam, one more time real quick.
Okay, number one, you're going to get used to wearing them chains after a while, Luke. Number two, you got to forge the chains you wear in life, Luke. Number three, Luke, you be like the weakest link after all.
I think it's probably one, but I'm going to say two. I don't know why something's saying...
To forge the chains.
Yeah.
All right,
here
do we have John? We'll see if we can give John a chance.
He's not there. All right, so go ahead.
All right.
Play the clip.
You're going to get used to wearing them chains after a while, Luke.
See, you should have gone with your instincts.
Gosh,
it was number one.
What?
And, you know, do we have John? No,
broke,
you know what?
It broke
it's okay.
my streak, too.
It's all right. We're going to let John be a winner. It's not his fault. I'm sure he would have said number one. He is a winner. And John has won a family pack of four general admissions to Sycamore Speedway. Don't say it. Get your motor running at the 2018 race season. Visit SycamoreSpeedway.com. We didn't get a chance to talk to John.
Sycamore.
But he's a winner anyways. All
right.
Good here at WGN Radio
Way
Theater.
To go. You got me. You broke my streak.
I know.
Two in a row.
Gosh. That's my goal in life.
Darn.
I come to the radio station and say, I'm going to break Carl's streak, so I win.
Mike, what do you think of these studios, huh?
Beautiful.
Yeah, we love this place.
Unbelievable.
But this isn't why we
love
the place.
They really did it right, boy.
And I can sit further away from you guys, actually, here.
That's
so
true, but we mostly love our producers, and we love our engineers, and we love the people here at WGN, and that's what makes it family and special.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, as I mentioned last night, you know what's the most impressive thing, Mike, that I've seen around the studios?
What's that?
There's lots of couches for me to take a nap on.
Of course.
Yeah.
And they're comfortable, very comfortable couches, too. So I will be taking naps on those couches.
I'm shocked to hear that.
Both
Kyle.
You and Lisa?
Oh, gosh, no.
Is that why I'm here today?
No.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. Lisa, she doesn't even need a couch. She just crawls into like a little, like a fetal position in a corner and snores.
Okay,
gosh,
Carl goes and sleeps, and I run and find him and tell him when it's time to come back on the
Literally,
air.
Literally, this is what
Next
she sounds
time,
like.
I'm not going to find him, and I'm just going to finish the show myself. I'm perfectly capable of doing that.
All right, our first classic radio show is The Adventures of the Thin Man. Now, this was a detective series with a humorous flair. It was heard on all four major networks between the years it was on the radio, 1941 through 1950. Initially, it starred Les Damon as ex-detective Nick Charles, with Claudia Morgan as his sophisticated, glamorous, wealthy wife, Nora Charles. Now, each week, the couple stumbled upon a murder and felt compelled to solve the crime. That's just what happened every single week. The radio series was modeled after the successful film series starring William Powell and Myrna Loy, which in turn was based on the 1934 Dashiell Hammett novel, The Thin Man. Did you ever see any of the movies, Mike or Lisa? Any of the William Powell, Myrna Loy movies? They were fantastic. They run a lot on Turner Classic Movies.
I have not.
Now, other actors to portray Nick Charles were Les Tremaine, who is in this particular episode, and Joseph Curtin. We have a broadcast for you now from July 6, 1948. This is called The Adventure of the Passionate Palooka. It stars Les Tremaine and Claudia Morgan. Here's part one of The Adventures of the Thin Man.
Presents The New Adventures of the Thin Man with Nick and Nora Charles, the happiest, merriest married couple in radio. Tonight and every Tuesday night at this same time, that international favorite Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer proudly presents the finest in summertime entertainment. So sit back, relax, and pour yourself a tall, foaming glass full of blended, splendid Pabst Blue Ribbon. While you listen to the stars of our show, Claudia Morgan as Nora and Les Tremaine as Nick, in tonight's Adventure of the Thin Man, entitled The Adventure of the Passionate Palooka. It's 1 o'clock in the morning of one of those sizzling July nights that make the average New Yorker feel like a hot dog on a griddle with mustard. We find our hero, Nick Charles, tossing restlessly in his bed and mumbling to himself.
I wonder if I ought to get in order to hit me on the head with one of my old blackjacks. Oh, no, she'd enjoy that too much. Oh, nuts.
Of course, Nora is twitching away in her bed, too. And when she notices that Nick's managed to close his eyes and doze off, she mumbles sweetly to herself.
He can't do that to me, the big goon. What right has he got to sleep in a night like this and leave me alone in my misery?
And so, with genuine wifely devotion, she gently wakes Nick up.
Nick!
What'd you say? Fire?
Yes, a fire.
How? When? Where?
On my sheets, and I'm cooking. Were you asleep?
Yes.
I thought so.
Is that why you woke me?
Well, you had no right to do it without telling me how.
Do what?
Fall asleep.
Well, dear, I thought of hundreds of people diving into swimming pools.
Female people?
Why, yes. They were all beautiful. They all look like you.
Oh, nice. Maybe I'll think of hundreds of you jumping into a pool.
Well, that's a great idea. Makes me feel cooler already.
You're making your first leap. You're diving.
I look like a swan, huh?
You land flat on your tummy.
You must be thinking of someone else, Nora. I never dive like that.
Now you're under the water.
What stroke am I doing?
You've disappeared.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't I come up?
No, I can't see you.
Well, Nora, get me out of here. I'm drowning.
I'm diving in after you. The crowds are applauding.
Hurry, will you?
I'm fishing around for you.
I'm over here.
I've got you.
Yeah. Hey, let go. You're pulling my hair.
Keep quiet. I'm rescuing you.
Nora, baby, you're being carried away. You're pulling me out of bed by the hair.
That's the way you rescue people, you ghoul.
But I haven't got that much hair left. Cut it out.
Let me drag you to the shore first.
I'm on the floor, Nora, dear. Or is it the shore?
It's the shore. Everyone is pinning medals on me and saying, what did she ever want to rescue him for?
Oh, nuts. Now you've just about ruined all my chances of ever falling asleep.
That's a fine thing to say to a wife who just saved your life. Who wants to sleep tonight, anyway?
What do you think we should do?
Let's go out.
Go out?
Mm-hmm.
At this hour? Nora, do you want me to become the kind of a bum I used to be?
Mm-hmm. Just for tonight.
Okay, baby. Nick the Dick prowls again.
Nick, aren't you glad we came out? Look, the whole town's up.
Yeah. And look what we're walking into, a band of serenaders.
Hey, Bud, would you and your girl like to find a way to forget the heat?
We certainly would, Mr. Bud.
Then join the Gutter Glee Club for unmusical verses.
Oh, I'd like to, but won't you get into trouble singing in front of that apartment house?
For the astronomical rents they pay in that joint, they deserve a little music.
Come on, Mickey, you know plenty of wrong notes. Let's sing.
Who's breaking it up, Nora?
The man on the seersucker who just ran out of the building.
Come on, go on, go on. Slam or I'll call the cops.
The trouble with you, Bud, is you ain't got no joy in your heart.
But I got two musical ears on my head. Go on, skedaddle, go on.
Oh, Nick, there's a man who would put the harps in heaven out of tune.
I think I know that guy.
If you do, you shouldn't. He looks so grouchy, I bet he bites himself for breakfast every morning just to make sure he feels sore.
Well, well, what are you waiting for? Contribution?
Aren't you Scoot Skillet, the fight manager?
Now, what if I get... Nick Charles, how are you? Where'd you get her?
Oh, I figured I needed a manager, so I let her sign me up for life.
Glad to know you, Mrs. Charles. Hey, say, Nick, you want to get a piece of something good? I'll sell you half of Atom Bomb Brickenhead for only $2,000.
Well, who's Atom Bomb Brickenhead?
My sensational new fighter who's meeting the champ tomorrow night.
Oh, which half of this prize fighter are you selling?
She's the educated type who don't know nothing about nothing, huh, Nick? I mean a half interest.
Why should you want to sell before the big fight, Scoots?
I need money bad. What do you say, Nick?
No dice. What's wrong with Brickenhead?
Yeah, this... How'd you guess?
Because you wouldn't sell a half interest in the right time if you could make a buck at it.
Well, then maybe you can help me. Listen, the Atom Bomber just ain't himself. Nobody can find out what's eating him. Being as you're a detective, maybe you can find out, Nick.
Where is Mr. Atom Bomb?
Upstairs.
Well, just what's wrong with him?
Even the doctors can't find out. They says it's all in his mind. So I calls him a mind specialist. A head doctor. And you know what he tells me?
What?
That the Atom Bomber ain't got no mind. And this information costs me $25 an hour.
Of course we'll help you, Mr. Scoot. Come, Nicky, let's meet this mindless wonder.
Hello, Scoot.
Hello, sunshine. Bomber, I want you to meet Nick and Nora Charles.
Oh, cheers.
Hello, Mr. Atom Bomber. What's this cheers business?
I heard it in a movie. It seemed so debonair. Oh, I'm so unhappy.
Bomber, suppose you tell us what's bothering you.
Nothing. Except I'm miserable.
Why are you miserable?
Because I'm unhappy.
But why are you unhappy?
Because I'm miserable. See, it's a vicious cycle. Oh, me.
But, Bomber, there must be some reason why you're groaning like a sick cow.
I wish I was a cow.
Well, you got the voice for it, but your figure's wrong.
Yeah, yeah, there's a catch to everything, ain't there?
Just a second. Why do you wish you were a cow?
Why not? I wish I was anything as long as I ain't me.
But what's wrong with you?
Nothing hurts me nowhere, Doc.
Listen, no mind. These ain't doctors. They're detectives. I thought they might help you.
Well, nobody can help me. Not even Betty Gray. Detectives? Did you say detectives?
Why, yes.
Detectives.
Look, Nick, he's coming to life. He don't look dead no more. He looks dumb, like he used to be.
Scoots, leave me alone with these two people. I gotta talk to him alone.
What's the matter? You don't trust me no more?
No, but I'm temperamental. I'm trained to a fine point. Nervous and high-strung, like an underbred thoroughbred.
You are?
I know I am, because I read about me in tonight's sports page. Now, leave me alone with him.
Okay, Bomber.
Nick, Nora, you're the only two peoples in the world who can help me.
Can we?
I didn't want to tell no one before because no one thinks I got any brains, which is true. You see, Nick, it's JoJo. I love JoJo.
Well, what happened to JoJo?
She's gone. She left me.
Why?
I don't know. I always treated her good. I never even kicked her. Not even once.
How sweet of you.
I never even kept her chained up. Hey, maybe I should have chained her up, huh, Nick?
Well, there are two schools of thought about that, but it's good for some females.
Yeah. Whenever she got hungry, I always threw her a bone.
Well, how generous of you. What's that? What kind of a dame are you in love with?
A high-class kind, of course.
Who eats bones?
Lulu don't eat bones. She eats caviar.
Lulu? But we were talking about JoJo. How many people do you love, Mr. Atombomber?
Just three. Me, JoJo, and Lulu.
Now, let's take them one at a time. Who's JoJo?
Just the most beautiful mongrel dog I ever found in Alley, that's all. And I love her.
When did the dog disappear?
On the night I fought with Lulu.
Oh, Lulu's a prize fighter.
No, but she should be with the right she's got. Lulu is a girl. JoJo is a dog, and me, I'm a rare phenomenon.
You are?
That's what the doctor said I was. Nick, Nora, promise me you won't tell nobody what's wrong with me. Not even Scoots.
Why?
Well, if everybody knew how I felt about JoJo, they'd think I was dumber than I really am. Can I help it if I love dogs?
We'll keep your secret.
And now, will you find JoJo for me? How can I win the world's championship tomorrow night, knowing JoJo is walking the street with no one to scratch her fleas? Look at me. Take pity on me. I'm wallowing in woe. I'm crying.
We'll find your doggy, Mr. Atombomber, before tomorrow night.
Mrs. Childs, you're a dear, sweet person. Almost as sweet as JoJo.
Nicky, darling, what makes you think we can find a dog in a nightclub like this? I mean, a dog who not only bites, but barks.
Beautiful, have you ever heard of Banana Nose Norbert?
Is it an ice cream sundae or a relation of Jimmy Durante?
He's the guy who owns this dive, and he practically runs the underworld of this town. We became friends when I sent him up the river years ago.
Nick, you promised me that we were going to live in the upper world from now on.
I was afraid you'd object. That's why I brought you here before I told you the reason. Nora, baby, it isn't as if this was a detective case or something, but do you think that dog disappeared by accident?
You mean the poor pooch is the victim of dog snatchers?
Well, do you think smart gamblers would stop at stealing a dog if they knew the effect it would have on the Atombomber?
Hello, Nicky. Waiter said you wanted to see me.
Oh, Banana Nose. This is my wife, Nora.
Well, well, well. Will wonders never cease? You're the first guy who ever came into this joint with a beautiful tomato that he was actually married to.
Why, thank you, Mr. Banana Nose.
You don't mind that I called you tomato, Mrs. Charles?
No, if you don't mind my calling you Banana Nose. Banana Nose and Tomato. We ought to get together and open a vegetable store.
That'd be funny.
Listen, Banana Nose, I'm looking for the pup that was stolen from Atombomber Brickenhead.
Oh, yeah? Why?
We promised to return him. Without that dog, Mr. Atombomber is so depressed he'll hardly be able to fight tomorrow night.
Oh, so that's why the odds went down against him. You know, Nick, a few weeks ago, the experts figure him to beat the champ.
He will beat the champ if he has his doggy.
Ah. And if he does, someone named me can clean up a load of loots. Nick, your worries are over.
They are?
Just tell me what the pooch looks like, and by tomorrow morning, you will have that dog in your apartment for breakfast.
Hello,
into the new adventures of the Thin Man, presented for your summertime entertainment by the makers of that international favorite, Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer.
That's Lisa's favorite beverage.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, she loves
morning, noon,
the
and
Pabst
night.
Blue Ribbon.
That's the best.
And Roma wines.
Oh, yeah.
Any kind of potent potable. She likes it.
I've got a stash right here behind me on the chair.
This guy cannot fight without his pooch. I mean, you wouldn't be able to do anything without Simba. I mean,
oh, no.
You love your Simba.
I do. He's my baby.
She loves that. She sleeps with Simba.
Well, of course.
He sleeps in the bed with her.
Yeah, right next to me.
And Dan, I'm hoping there's the three of you in there.
That's awesome.
Very good. All right. That's the first portion of The Adventures of the Thin Man with Les Tremaine as Nick Charles, Claudia Morgan as Nora Charles. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
From the luxurious studios at 303 East Wacker, we are bringing you classic radio shows. This is our second show in the brand new studio. It is spectacular.
And here's the thing. Carl forgot his binoculars.
Yeah.
And so he was all ready to take a little peek over at the building right behind us.
I know.
There's some
activity.
There's some rooms with
not sure what's
drapes.
Going on
drapes
over there.
Drapes are not closed over there.
No drapes.
Maybe next week you'll be able to do that.
What building is that? I might have to rent an apartment there. It's very convenient.
I don't know, but
I'd just be able to walk right over to the studio. It's great.
Right? That would be fun.
Gosh, that'd be good.
For you.
All right, let's get back now to The Adventures of the Thin Man.
Relax and let's catch Act Two of tonight's Thin Man adventure. Nick and Nora Charles have promised to find Jojo, the mongrel pooch whose mysterious disappearance has broken the heart of Adam Bomber Brickenhead, the heavyweight challenger who lacks a mind. It's now 11:30 in the morning, and we find our hero and heroine at breakfast.
Nicky, you know what I dreamed about last night?
Dogs?
Yes, how'd you find out?
I dreamed about them, too.
Well, darling, tonight Mr. Adam Bomb goes into the ring to battle for the championship, and he's still dogless.
Well, don't worry, dear. Banana Nose Norbert won't fail us.
He said he'd have the dog here for breakfast. We're having breakfast. And no dog.
Oh, now, Nora, you mustn't take it so to heart.
Why not? Poor Mr. Adam Bomber. Without a mind, without a dog, and with a broken heart. What's he got?
Cauliflower ears, 200 pounds of solid muscle, and an appealing personality.
I think Lulu's behind the whole thing.
The Adam Bomber's girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
But they're in love with each other. Why should she pull a mean trick like dog napping?
Well, I'm in love with you, and I do mean things to you.
Yeah, that's true. Why do you do them?
Because I love you, Madge. Besides, they had a fight.
Wait a minute. Listen.
It's a dog. Unless I'm hearing things, too.
There are two dogs. One's a coloratura soprano, and the other is a basso profundo.
Listen, Nick. It's a full operatic ensemble.
Nora, this can't be. This thing has affected our minds. We've gone pooch potty.
Oh, look, one of the dogs is ringing our bell.
Just a minute. Hiya, Nick.
Banana Nose.
I told you I'd have a dog for you. Got my voice around the ball like it's fine. Hey, you dog, shut up. Hey, Spike, make them dogs obey me. Don't they know who I am?
Come in, Banana. Let the dogs rest in the hall.
Hello, Mrs. Charles. The Banana Nose never fails. I got the pooch. I think.
So I heard. What made you do this?
Oh, I ain't no dope. With these low odds on the Atom Bomber, there's gonna be plenty in it for old Banana Nose when we find the doggy and the Atom Bomber wins the fight.
Yeah, I see your angle. But Banana Nose, I thought you'd figured some gambler took the pooch.
I checked on that angle. The hound was not hijacked. So I figured he was on the loose, since the Dog Society didn't pick him up.
It isn't a him dog. It's a her.
A tomato?
Mm-hmm. Jojo is a female.
Well, I'll be doggone. I forget there was two kinds. I told them to pick up all the black and white mongrels they could find, no matter what kind of personalities they had.
Yeah, well, we'll bring the dogs in, and I'll have the atom bomber come down and see if he can identify one of them.
Are you going to bring that mob of mongrels in here, Nicky?
Well, what can we do, Nora? We've got to be good hosts.
Well, you can stay here with them, Nick. I know what I'm going to do.
Where are you going, Nora?
To investigate my own angle on this dog napping. I'll call you up, darling. I'll sneak out the back way. Bye.
Nora!
Well, Nick, shall I bring him in?
Well, I guess so.
Okay, you mugs, send in all the girl dogs.
Good evening.
Good evening. Are you Miss Lulu Laverne?
I am she.
Well, I'm Mrs. Nora Charles.
Pleased to meet you, I think. Entree, French. That means come in and also something expensive to eat in high-class continental dumps.
It does?
Yeah. Are you interested in culture?
Well, I suppose so.
Culture's my latest passion.
Well, I thought Mr. Adam Bomb Brickenhead was that.
Oh. What do you know about it?
He told me about you, Lulu.
He did he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever he said, it's a foul and delicious canary.
You mean malicious canard?
Oh, trying to out-culture me, are you?
No, Lulu, I'm just trying to find Mr. Adam Bomber's dog.
Well, what did you come here for? Do I look like a dog catch? Don't answer that.
Lulu, all day long, poor Mr. Adam Bomber's been trying to identify his dog. Hundreds of dogs have been brought to my house. So far, his hasn't turned up.
Not even one of them poachers is Jojo?
Not one. If he goes into the fight without Jojo, he'll just be killed.
That's great.
I know you took the dog.
Oh, so I'm a dog thief now.
The doorman of this apartment house saw you with the dog.
And after the tip I gave him for Christmas. But he didn't see me with Jojo. He saw me with my own dog, Chi-Chi.
He saw you with two dogs.
That must have been the night he seen me with the atom bomber.
The atom bomber isn't two dogs.
He is so. You don't know him as good as I do.
Lulu, you just say those things because you had a fight with him.
Sure. Can you give me a better reason?
And on the day you had a fight, you took the dog out for a walk and you told him she ran away.
She did.
Why?
Because we girls just didn't get along together. And besides, no man should love another female as much as he loved that dog, even if she has got a better pedigree than I got.
Lulu, you're jealous of Jojo.
Me? Jealous of a pooch? What's she got? Dog skin. I got mink.
Lulu, you know where that dog is, and I'm going to see that you return her.
You can't scare me. Hey, who are you calling?
My husband. He'll make you confess.
That's unfair. You can't turn a man loose on me. You can see I'm the type that men can melt.
Nick. Good heavens, who answered the phone? Nick!
Hello, Nora, baby.
I thought the dogs answered the phone for a moment.
Well, they've done everything but that. Banana Nose and his boys keep bringing them in by the dozens. Hey, get down.
Have you found Jojo among them?
No. The atom bomber's here. He's dazed from the dogs and scared to go into the ring. Yeah, hey, don't fight!
Nick, come up here to Lulu's place right away. I'm sure she's got the dog.
Okay, Lulu's place. Wait a minute. The atom bomber's got to rush to the fight now. Hey, bomber, you want to say something to your girl, Lulu?
Yeah. Hello, Lulu. I love you, Lulu.
I'm glad to hear it, Mr. Bomber. But this is Nora. Lulu, come here and say something nice to him. He's got to rush to the fight now. Encourage him.
I sure will. Hello, Bomber?
Lulu, I'm so miserable.
Look, and my best wish is that the champ should ready in the first round.
Lulu, what a wish.
What are you complaining about? If you croak in round one, you won't have to finish the fight. Goodbye.
Bomber has covered the champ with blood. That is, the atom bomber's blood.
Lulu, Nora and I have brought you to this beer parlor to see what you've done to the poor atom bomber.
Yes, Lulu, look at him. He looks terrible.
Yeah, that's the television set. It ain't perfected yet.
Folks, as you look at the face of the atom bomber, don't think your television set is broken. It's just what the champ did to him.
Well, boy, he's really a mess, eh?
There's the bell, folks, and we're off for another round of slaughter. Here comes the atom bomber. He dived right at the champ's right.
Oh, stop him back, bomber!
The bomber's tired of the champ, right? So he's aiming his head at the champ's left.
Oh, the poor bomber!
Nick, she's breaking down.
I can't bear to see his ugly face falling like that. All right, I'll give
Olivia the poodle. She's in a dog hotel on a honeymoon with my dog. Come on, I'll show you where.
Here's JoJo.
Thanks, Doc. Nick and Nora, can we still get to the fight on time?
Yes, Lulu. Scoots has some ringside seats for us, right near the Atom Bomber's corner.
So this is JoJo. How do you like being a bride, JoJo?
Come on, you three gushing girls. We've got to rush.
We got here in time. Look, the bomber is still alive.
Yes, he's resting between the rounds. Nora.
Yes, dear.
You sit here with Lulu. I'm going to take JoJo to the bomber's corner.
All right.
Hey, Scooch. Bomber, look what I've got here. Hey, Scooch.
Nick, don't bother me. We're trying to keep him conscious.
I've got something that'll make him win the fight.
Look, Nick, I ain't got time. This boy of mine needs everything but a blood transfusion.
Scooch, I'll buy that half interest in your boy for $2,000.
Sold. I'll sell you the half above the waist. That's completely dead wood.
It's a deal. Now let me talk to my half of my boy.
Okay, here.
Bomber, look what I've got under my arm.
JoJo. My little doggy, JoJo.
Yes, your girl Lulu had her. She took her because she thought you loved her more than you loved her.
That ain't true. I love my dog just as much as I love my girl.
And Lulu loves you, too. And there she is. She came here to watch you win the championship.
Lulu? Oh, boy, I'm going to kill that champ. I'm going to murder him. My fighting spirit is returned. Nothing can stop me now.
Okay, I'm going back to our seats. Go in there and win, Bomber.
Nick!
I'm coming, baby.
Did you tell the bomber what happened?
Yes, Nora.
Did it do any good?
Good. You just watch, Lulu. As soon as he saw you and the dog, he was practically resurrected.
Resurrected? Is that good?
It's going to be sensational. There's the bell.
Look at him go. Knock him in the head, bomber.
Give him the old 1-2.
Oh, boy, there goes the bomber. Look at him swing.
Yes. Look at him miss.
Look at him receive that wallop from the gym. Look how nicely he falls.
Get up, bomber.
That's right, bomber. Stay there and take a nice rest. Take a rest, Bomber.
He isn't resting, Nora. He's unconscious.
Don't be silly. He's being small.
Hey.
Get up, Bomber.
JoJo, bark at him. He's firing. Nora, he was knocked out.
But that's impossible. We did everything like they do in the movies, and it never ends this way. It's a foul. Foul!
I'm afraid the bomber is down for the count. Now, if Nicky and Nora are smart, they'll go on home and have themselves a cold, refreshing bottle of that blended, splendid Pabst Blue Ribbon. The beer with the fresh, clean, sparkling flavor. You know, Pabst Blue Ribbon is quite a home favorite with happily married couples. Just to mention a few, there's Mr. and Mrs. Gregory Peck, Mr. and Mrs. Bob Hope, Mr. and Mrs. Lawrence Melchior, and Miss Gladys Swarthout and her husband, Mr. Frank Chapman. Now, these people can certainly afford the best of everything. And the fact that Pabst Blue Ribbon is served in their homes is a tribute to its quality. I could tell you about Pabst's 104 years of leadership in the art of brewing and explain how Pabst developed the science of blending. Yes, blending 33 fine brews to keep the same identical Blue Ribbon flavor and quality in bottle after bottle, year after year. But I'd rather you'd simply taste it yourself. By tasting, by comparing, you'll understand why millions the world over have settled down to blended, splendid Pabst Blue Ribbon. Conclusion of tonight's Thin Man adventure.
Hello, Nicky, darling. Where have you been?
To see Scoots and pay him for my half of the bomber.
Oh. How is he?
Very happy. He wishes there were more people like me in the world and less fighters like the bomber.
That's not nice. The bomber really tried hard.
Yeah, I know. The bomber says he would have won the fight if the champ didn't get in his way so much.
I know. But is it Mr. Bomber's fault if there was another man in the ring? Anyway, I'm glad to hear he's going to marry Lulu.
When'd you find that out?
Oh, well, Lulu phoned a few minutes ago.
Well, that's one match I hope he'll win. Nora!
Hmm?
Nora, darling, what are you knitting there?
Can't you guess?
Why, it looks like a little garment. Nora, don't tell me.
Yes, it's true. Jojo's going to have puppies.
Well, then congratulate me.
Why?
After what I went through with that dog, I practically feel like a father. Looks like another hot night tonight.
And if we can't sleep, I know just what to do now.
Go out again?
No, we'll get into too much trouble that way. We'll each have a glass of ice-cold Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, and then I'll do this. And say, good night, Nicky, darling.
Be sure to listen next Tuesday night when Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer brings you another happy, exciting Thin Man adventure with Les Tremaine and Claudia Morgan. Next week, the adventure of the Haunted Hams, when Nick and Nora go to the country and discover that livestock aren't the only stock in barns during the summer. The Adventures of the Thin Man is brought to you by the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Newark, New Jersey, and Peoria, Illinois. And this is Ed Herlihy saying good night with the best wishes of Pabst Blue Ribbon dealers from coast to coast.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
There you have The Adventures of the Thin Man, July 6th, 1948. The Adventure of the Passionate Palooka. And that was sponsored by Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer. That starred Les Tremaine and Claudia Morgan. Also in the cast, Mandel Kramer, Jackson Beck. And you heard little old me, Ed Herlihy, as the announcer on that. And then there was somebody that got paid probably the same amount as everybody else in the show doing this.
I think we could have done that just fine. You know, it's an art. It's an art form to be able to
do
that.
I need a job like that. I would like to get paid to just go.
You know what? You should try that out on WGN. Maybe that worked out for you.
I'm going to make a demo out of this.
You should. You send it over.
Ashley, can you make a demo out of this? Yeah?
Yeah, she's got it.
All right, perfect.
I think so, yeah. Do it.
Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Folks out there, how would you like to sail with us through the Caribbean on our classic radio cruise, February 16th through the 23rd, 2019? Lisa and I will be taking our listeners along with us, hopefully, and I hope it's you that I'm talking to will come with us. For a whole week in the Caribbean, and we're going to visit, let me see, St. Thomas, St. Martin, and the Bahamas.
Right, and it starts from Miami.
Yeah.
And this is a Royal Caribbean cruise. I've been on Royal Caribbean.
Me too.
And this ship in particular is a very, very, it's a brand new ship, and it is the largest passenger ship in the world. So we are one of its very early voyages, and it is, I don't even know how to explain it. The best thing you can do is to check it out, but this ship is like a city in and of itself,
yeah.
And then we
it's
get to go visit cities
of the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
But the best part is that I can't think of anything better to do during a week in Chicago in the winter,
right,
than to travel away with Lisa and Carl to the Caribbean. Like, what?
Yeah, we're going to have all kinds of fun events around classic radio, including trivia contests where you win prizes, and also we're going to have a radio drama reenactment, and you can win a starring role in our reenactment.
But I think, personally, the best part about a cruise is you can make it as busy and active as you want. You can lay around at the pool and enjoy the weather and the fun and the sun and the food all day long and read a book and just enjoy, or you can run around with us and participate in activities and go exploring the islands. It's totally up to you.
I think the best part, you're right, but I think the best part,
of course,
well, you're always right. The best part of a cruise
yes.
is the food.
Oh, see, I don't feel that way. I'm not a big food person.
It's such good food. Oh, my gosh.
Just laying around the pool and relaxing and talking and hanging out with us, I don't know. That sounds like a lot of fun. Kelly Cruises is our exclusive travel partner. We're working with them on this cruise. The best way to check it out is to go to our website, WGNRadioTheater.com. There's a banner for it for our cruise. You can click it. It takes you right to the Kelly Cruises website. You can read all about it. We hope that you'll check it out and get more information there.
Yeah, make sure you're with us. Book, because this is a limited kind of...
It's very limited.
Yeah, I think it's...
Don't miss out.
Yeah, I mean, when we sell out the cabins,
that's it.
So do check it out.
Carl,
or at least save the date. Do something like that. February 16th through the 23rd, Royal Caribbean. It's called The Symphony of the Seas is the name of the ship.
Come sail away. Sail away.
It's a classic radio cruise.
Sail away with me.
Go to WGNRadioTheater.com. Click on the banner. Takes you to Kelly Cruises. You can win a 2018 Chevy Silverado. For details, listen to Steve Cochran weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. If you're a smart speaker user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. When we come back from the news, we're going to listen to Duffy's Tavern, very funny comedy. So stick around. Here's David Jennings. Song came out the year you were born, right?
Yeah, 1939.
Yeah.
Yep.
It sounds good. Still
Thanks.
To this day.
I look pretty good, too, if I might say.
Yeah,
so myself.
You do, actually. Yep. All right. Well, in this hour, we're going to tune into one of the funniest radio shows of all time, Duffy's Tavern. And you're going to hear a lot of similarities between the television series Cheers, because the head writer of Duffy's Tavern was Abe Burrows. Abe Burrows' son, James Burrows, created Cheers.
Yep.
And I'm sure it was sort of an homage to what his dad did back in the 1940s and 50s. You're going to hear tons of similarities. It is very much like Cheers. It's basically a radio version of Cheers, and I think you're really going to like it. Ed Gardner stars as Archie the Manager. It's from 1945. That's coming up in just a moment. But first, let's play our game, Cat's Pride, Crack the Quote.
The movie is Gone with the Wind.
Oh, very good.
Right? Good. Mm-hmm. And the prize will be the coveted desktop indoor weather station.
I want one of those.
Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
How do I get one?
You know
of those?
What? I might be able to set you up.
All right.
See what
the
I can
number
do.
To call, 312-981-7200. What caller is
that? Caller number 6, please.
6. All right. She's last time and 6 this time.
6 is a really good number.
312-981-7200. Let's play the game together. We'll be right back. It's rematch time in L.A. as the Cubs look to take it to the house against the Dodgers. Tuesday Night Baseball, Tuesday at 9 on WGN-TV.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we have Tim on the line with us this morning. Hi, Tim. Where's Tim? Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
We're having some phone trouble this morning. I'm so sorry. We may not be able to get Tim.
Uh-oh.
But you know what? No matter what, Tim's a winner. He's the one that got through. He was our caller number 6. We'll start playing the game. If we can find him, great. If not, we'll just assume Tim guessed the right answer.
Okay,
Gone with the Wind, number
mm-hmm.
1.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what marriage means. I know we will grow old together and live a full life.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2. You don't know what marriage means. I want to learn everything about you. Number 3. You don't know what marriage means. I know I love you, and I want to be your wife.
It's numero uno.
All right. Do we have Tim or no? Okay. So numero uno was you don't know what marriage means. I know we will grow old together and live a full life. Okay.
You don't know what marriage means.
I know I love you and I want to be your wife.
It was number 3, but
it was
so close.
I stink at this game.
It was so close, but here's the thing. Tim is right. He said number 3.
Tim's kind of quiet, you know?
He's quiet, but he knows his stuff. So luckily for Tim, he has...
Tim, you need to come out of your shell a little bit more.
Tim needs to speak up a little. Tim has won the desktop indoor weather station. It is
brought
to
Tim, he gets through. He becomes the sixth caller.
I know.
And then we can't get him on the air over here.
Yeah,
sorry,
I'm pretty
Tim.
Sure it's all Ashley's
sorry,
fault.
Sorry, buddy.
But yeah, okay. So he's won the desktop indoor weather station. It is brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Tim, I know I can't hear you, but that is a fantastic prize. Carl wants one, but no go. We're going to give it to you. Nah. So congratulations. I'm so sorry about the difficulties. We're gonna figure this out yet.
All right. It's time for Duffy's Tavern. Good Comedy came to radio in 1940. And Duffy's Tavern was a flea-infested dive on 3rd and 23rd Streets in New York City, where the elite meet to eat. Right, Ed Gardner was Archie the manager, and the interesting thing was, you know, Duffy owned the tavern, but he was never heard on the show. He was an absentee owner. He let Archie the manager run everything, but he did call in at the beginning of every show. You never heard him talking, though. It was just you heard, you know, Ed Gardner's reaction to whatever Duffy was saying. But there was all these regular characters on the show, Eddie the Waiter, Clancy the Cop, and usually there were guest stars, not in this particular episode, but there were guest stars, and the shows were written by Abe Burrows, as I mentioned earlier, Larry Marks, Larry Gelbert, and Dick Martin of Rowan and Martin fame. Yeah, so I mean, you remember Rowan and Martin laughing?
Sure.
They worked on this show.
Yep.
In 1949, Ed Gardner, who was the producer of the show, he moved the entire show offshore to Puerto Rico to save, you know, tax dollars. And so the whole crew used to have to, and all the guests used to have to go over to Puerto Rico to do the show.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. So we're going to have an episode for you now, November 9th. 1945. Eddie the Waiter may quit. Let's find out what happens now on Duffy's Tavern.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern. Where do you lead me, Dean? Archie, the manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. The crowd, a lot of servicemen tonight. Yeah, the place is a regular separation center. Already I've had to separate three guys. By the way, you know who came in tonight? Lefty O'Rourke. Yeah, he's out of uniform now. Oh, Duffy, not on points, on parole. Yeah, Lefty says he just couldn't get along with the warden, you know, and one of them had to go. Well, you know, the warden's in pretty solid. Well, I don't know. O'Rourke was very popular up there, Duffy. In fact, he claims they voted him the man most likely to return. Say, by the way, speaking of getting out of jail, Eddie the Waiter is thinking of leaving us. What do you mean, so what? Eddie's a very valuable man. Huh? Well, I admit he ain't very fast on his feet, but he's got a great knack for serving hash without that guilty expression on his face. Yeah, well, I think he got an offer from Grogan's Grill. Well, don't worry. I'll talk him out of it, Duffy. You know the old line, gratitude, the chance for advancement, all we've done for him, money ain't everything. Yeah, the old sucker pitch. Well, certainly I'll bite. Don't I forfeit every time I ask for a raise? Well, just leave it to me, Duffy. I'll call you back. Eddie? Yeah? Eddie, there's a rumor around that you have had an offer from Grogan's Grill.
Uh-huh.
And the rumor also says that you're thinking of taking it.
Keep your eye on that rumor. It's got a future.
You're not serious. Where did you get this idea about leaving?
I just looked into my wallet and there it was.
Kid, this is madness. You can't leave here. Why, you're a part of Duffy's Tavern.
Yeah, the part that goes over the cash register last.
Just a second now, Eddie. Is it that you feel that Duffy ain't done right by you?
Well, now you know yourself that when it comes to blowing that horn of plenty, he ain't no Harry James.
Eddie, leave us discuss this. I think if you're fair-minded, I can show you that you're making a mistake. Now answer me. Do you object to working 7 days a week?
Definitely.
And I suppose you object to putting in 15 hours a day.
Very definitely.
I suppose you also object to not being paid no salary.
Extremely definitely.
Eddie, I'm afraid you didn't enter this discussion with an open mind. Don't you realize there's more important things than money?
Yeah, but they all cost money. Miss Darcy, now I'd like to have a salary. I just can't get along on the tips I collect.
Now don't hear me that, Eddie. I've seen nights when you walked out of here with enough quarters to choke a horse.
Or kill him with lead poisoning. Miss Darcy, I just can't do it. In addition to the tips, I think I ought to have a dollar a week salary.
How does 35 cents hit you?
It don't even muss my hair.
All right, then go ahead and quit. But it's hard to think that you'd take this attitude toward a man that's been your friend. Almost your brother. Through thick and thin. Laughter and tears.
Be sure to listen to Stella Dallas at the same time.
Okay, go ahead. Scoff that friendship.
Howard.
Hello,
Eddie.
Finnegan, what is your opinion of a man that fights the hand that feeds him?
Well, some people will eat anything. Why, what's your trouble?
It's Eddie here. He wants to get paid more money.
Money? Eddie, my boy, money is nothing. You know what I always say?
Why?
Be it ever so humble, there's no place like home.
What's that got to do with money?
Well, we owe 6 months' rent.
Thanks, Finnegan. You're a big help. Now, look, Eddie, I think you're confused about this whole thing. What you need is a real nice vacation. Tell you what you do.
Why?
Take the rest of the day off.
That would only add to the confusion. I wouldn't know what to do with a day off.
Well, what did you do on your last day off?
Went up to Boston. They were having a tea party.
I can see you're in a wrong mood. Why don't you go out and breathe some nice clean air and maybe you'll change your mind, huh?
That might help. Okay, see you later.
Mm. Yeah, look, Archie, I don't like to seem a ghoul, but have you got any ideas where I could get a job?
A job for you? I don't know. Have you tried Ripley? What do you want with a job?
Oh, I gotta get away from home, Arch. I just can't stand that fighting.
Your mother and father again, huh?
Yeah.
What do they fight about?
Oh, the simplest thing. Like this morning. It all started about the new silver coffee pot.
Coffee pot?
Yeah, my mother hit me father over the head with it.
Well, why did she have to use the silver coffee pot?
Because it was their 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh. Do they fight all the time like that?
Oh, yeah. Fight. Except once every week they quit for half an hour.
How's that?
They stop to listen to Mr. Anthony.
Well, ain't there nothing you can do to stop them?
Oh, I tried to. This morning I said, Mom and Papa, why do you fight like this? Why, when you have so much to be thankful for?
Then?
They took a look at me and started swinging again.
Well, it must be kind of tough at that, Finnegan, having to watch your mother hit your father with a coffee pot every morning.
Well, it don't bother me too much. You see, I'm a tea drinker myself. But that's why I'd like to get a job, Bart, to get away from it all.
Well, I'll tell you how you can pick up a fast nickel, Finnegan.
A nickel? How?
Well, I want you to go over to Grogan's across the street.
Yeah?
Make sure they don't notice
you. Yeah.
And if you see Eddie the waiter talking to Grogan, come right back and let me know.
Oh, boy. I'll be like a G-man.
Yes, you're gone. Okay. Now hurry back.
Oh, well, hello, Archie.
Hello, Miss Duffy.
Archie, yeah? How do you like my new hat?
Oh, lovely. How often do you have to water it?
Don't be silly. These flowers are artificial.
Oh, I see.
Only the fruit is real.
Look, why do dames' hats have to have everything on them, including the kitchen stove?
Because they serve a very important function. When you pass a woman on the street, what's the first thing you look at?
The stuffing. Leave a stick to hats.
Anyway, you should be talking about clothes, the way you dress.
What's wrong with the way I dress? My clothes fit perfectly.
Yeah, but who?
I got no time to be standing here brandying insults. I got enough to worry about.
What have you got to worry about?
Eddie, the waiter. He's thinking about quitting. And because he can't pry a measly dollar a week salary out of that nickel nice old man of yours.
Huh. A fine way to talk about Papa after all he's done for you.
What's he done?
He got you started. Gave you responsibility. Took you into his confidence. Taught you the inside workings of the business.
Miss Duffy, I do not consider helping your father polish up pennies to be passed off as dimes a junior partnership. Believe me, I owe that guy nothing. When I think of what I could have been if I hadn't come to work here 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. It happens that the very morning of the day that he hired me, I turned down a splendid opportunity to go on relief. And from there on, who knows?
Hi, Art. Come here.
Oh, excuse me, Miss Duffy. What is it, Finnegan?
G-Man reporting.
Oh, yes, G. Now, what's the dope? I mean, outside of you.
Just a second. Are we alone?
Yeah.
Well, who's that standing beside you?
That's you.
Can I be trusted?
We'll have to take a chance. Whatever happened over at Grogan's?
You was right, Arch. He was working over there.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Hmm. What was he doing?
He was in the kitchen cutting down the paper plates to make the meals look bigger.
Dirty rat. Not only does he leave us, but he gives away our trade secrets. Dirty traitor. That Benedictine. Anyway, guess I just better call up the employment agency and hire a new waiter. Hello? Bowery Bum Personnel Service? This is Duffy's Tavern. What have you got in a waiter? Well, I'd like to get a man who can handle both a la carte and cuisine. Huh? The hours, from 7 to 3. That's 7 a.m., of course. Huh? No, the 3 is a.m., too. dinner jacket, well, yes, and it'd be a good idea if he wore one for breakfast and supper, too. The salary, $35 a week in tips. Okay, send him right down.
All right. So, 7 to 3. 7 a.m.
To 3 a.m.
That's some good...
That's perfect.
That's good hours, right?
Yeah, for somebody. Not for me.
For $35 a week plus tips.
That's more I make here, so plus it sounds tips. Like a good deal.
So, I'm kind of considering it. I might call Ed Gardner and see if that job's available.
I think that would be a lot of
fun. All right, that's the first portion to Duffy's Tavern, November 9th, 1945.
And did you hear the dial on the phone?
Yeah,
you can picture the finger going in and then as it goes back.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, David Jennings. All right, it is, let's see. What time is it?
It's 12:35.
Hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. And on Sundays, we're only on the air 2 hours. We used to be on 3 hours, but we're on 2 hours now, 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. on Sundays. And we're here 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. on Saturdays. And we're tuning in to Duffy's Tavern Eddie the waiter wants to quit. They're trying to replace him. I think they're going to try to replace him with Slapsy Maxie Rosenblum here. Let's tune it in. The conclusion now to Duffy's Tavern.
Let me see how this letter reads. My dear Mr. Grogan, this is to inform you that you are a low rodent-type rat, comma, for stealing Eddie the waiter. It is such people as you that cause ill feeling between labor and management by offering a living wage. In closing, you are nothing but a crook, a swindler, and an all-around crumb. I remain the same. Signed, Archie. P.S.
Say, Arch.
Oh, what is it, Finnegan?
I told you I was looking for a job, and you go out and hire a strange waiter. What's wrong with me?
What's wrong with you? Finnegan, pull up a chair. Gonna take a little time. In the first place, you don't know how to write. How could you write down the people's orders?
Well, I can make X's. One X for salad, two X's for soup, three X's for meat and coffee.
Three X's for both meat and coffee? How would you know which was which?
Simple. If you have to cut it with a knife, it's me. Now, look, why don't you at least try me out?
All right, I'll try you out. Now, I'm a customer sitting down here at a table. What do you do first?
I tuck the napkin under your chin.
Well, yes, that's as correct as far as it goes. But what do you do if I ain't wearing a collar?
Well, if you ain't wearing a collar, what do you need a napkin for?
Finnegan, one uses a napkin irregardless of whether he is attired in a collar or not. That's considered good form. As a waiter, you must not forget Emily Post.
Well, you didn't tell me you came in with a dame.
Finnegan, I would suggest that you try Ripley again, or with your hat off this time. Now, I gotta go finish this letter to Grogan. P.S. In addition to the above, Grogan, you are the gruesomest man I have ever seen.
Hiya, bud.
Grogan, you are one of the gruesomest men. Now, what can I do for you, Dimples?
I was sent here by the employment agency.
Well, if you'll pardon me, you don't look much like a waiter.
Too pretty, huh? Well, when do I start to work?
Well, just a second. I got to interview you. I got to fill out this form. Now, name?
Rosenblum.
Born?
Yep.
I've heard that one a million times, and this is the first time I ever doubted it. Now, what education did you have? Did you go to high school?
Does that come before or after college?
Let's skip it.
I think I did. Any other questions?
Yeah. How long have you been a waiter?
How long? Well, what time did you call the agency?
Now, wait a minute. Where did you ever work?
Oh, Madison Square Garden, the Legion Stadium, the St. Nicholas Arena.
Hey, just a second. Rosenblum. You ain't Maxie Rosenblum, the fighter.
Yeah.
Holy cat, I didn't recognize you standing up. Fight a dozen times. I remember the night you fought King Levinsky. He really knocked your brains out that night, didn't he?
That? A great fight.
Yeah. And I was there the night that Mickey Walker flattened you with that right hook in the first round.
I was hot that night.
You never did fight Joe Louis, did you?
Nah, he was too cowardly.
Joe Louis cowardly?
Yeah, he was scared he'd kill me.
Look, Maxie, how come you gave up fighting?
Well, I had trouble with my eyes.
Oh, trouble with your eyes, huh?
Yeah, after the second round, I always seem to be looking up at my appointments. Appointments.
That's your opponent. Well, maybe you're just as well off. You know, it's a pretty tough game, that fight game. I used to be in it myself, you know.
You a pugilist?
Oh, certainly. I've pugiled around quite a bit. Look at that wrist. Feel that bicuspid. No, that ain't chopped liver.
It ain't muscles.
Well, muscles ain't everything. You see, I was very clever, very scientific. I used to slither around that ring like an eel. In fact, they used to call me the ringworm.
That I believe.
Thanks. Oh, sure. I used to have this terrific corkscrew punch that I invented. You know, I'd start it right above me right knee. Then I'd twist me wrist and turn me body at the same time, you know, putting plenty of shoulder into it.
Sounds great.
Yeah, but, you know, like every great punch, it had a flaw. The recoil used to knock me flat on my head.
Yeah, yeah, I wonder if I had a corkscrew punch and didn't know him.
Probably. But, Maxie, what's this about you working here as a waiter? Don't it feel strange to get to being in a ring so long, to be walking around serving drinks?
Nah, I feel right at home. Between rounds, I go to a neutral corner.
Oh.
Oh, by the way, Archie, who's the bimbo over there?
Oh, I'll introduce you. Miss Duffy, this is Maxie Rosenblum, the fighter.
Oh, really? You know, Mr. Rosenblum, if it wasn't for that broken nose and those cauliflower ears, I'd never know you were a fighter.
Hey, this dame is crazy about me. Look, sister, why don't you and I, why don't you stick around and help me lux out a few bar rags, huh?
I see what you mean about the eye trouble, Maxie. Okay, you're hired.
Well, what's the salary?
35 a week in tips, plus 50 cents a round for ejaculating drunks.
35 a week? Okay, I'll take it. Now, look, before I start, there's one thing I want misunderstood. Anybody says anything I don't like around here gets a punch in the nose. You understand that?
Well, that's right.
And that includes you, ringworm. Well, I'll see you later.
Hello, Duffy. Huh? Yeah, the new waiter's here. Well, at the moment, he's sitting around with the customers. Now, don't fly into a transom, Duffy. He's got to get acquainted with the customers. Well, when closing time comes, you don't want him to be carrying out perfect strangers, do you? Okay.
Oh, Archie, I'm afraid we'll have to get rid of that slapsy Maxie.
What's the matter?
A customer just spilled some soup, and Mr. Rosenblum is mopping it up.
Well, what's wrong with that?
He's using the customer for a mop.
Hey, Arch, what's with that new waiter?
What's the matter?
I just asked him a simple question and he punched me right in the nose.
What was the question?
I just asked him, how's the cauliflower?
Well, I can see I'll have to take care of this guy. Hey, Maxie.
Well, what do you want now?
Look, didn't them five guys you just served five beers to just leave?
Yeah, they left. Well, what about it?
Where is the two bits for the five beers?
They didn't pay me for them. They just left my tip.
How much was the tip?
The tip, two bits. You want to make something about it?
Well, no. I was just thinking what generous guys they were.
Okay, now look. I'm in the middle of eating. Don't bother me again.
I'm afraid I have hired a playboy.
Hi, Miss Dodger.
Oh, Eddie. So the Portugal sun has returned. I should think you'd be ashamed to walk into this place.
Well, a fella can get used to anything in 5 years.
So you turned turncoat on us and went over to work for Grogan, huh?
I ain't working for Grogan.
Eddie, don't add perjury to injury.
I'm telling the truth. You see, you gave me the day off, so I just worked over there for a couple of hours, that's all.
You mean you're still working for us?
Yeah, Mr. Archie. I guess I still got a soft spot in my head for the old place.
Well, I appreciate it, Eddie. You know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to give you that buck a week, even if I have to take it out of my own salary. And if I know Duffy, I probably will.
No, well, Mr. Archie, see, I don't like
this. Oh, don't worry about it. It just means it puts me in a lower income tax bracket. Besides, I do something for you, Eddie. Maybe you'll do something for me.
What?
Well, you see, we hired a new waiter while you was gone. That big guy over there with the cauliflower ears. So as I say, I do something for you, you do something for me. I want you to go over there and fire that guy.
Mr. Archie, I appreciate that dollar a week, but I'd rather not have it paid to my estate.
Wait a minute. You mean you're afraid of him?
Me? Well, no. It's just that you hired him, and I think you the logical man to fire him.
Eddie, don't you want to get no executive experience?
Yeah, but I'd rather climb the hard way, you know, live and learn.
Okay, then, I'll do it myself. Hey, Maxie.
What is it now?
Maxie, I'm sorry to say that a situation has arose. Eddie, who worked here first, is back with us, which naturally leaves you with very little seniority to fall back on.
Hey, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me I'm fired?
Well, frankly,
You know what happened to the last guy that fired me?
No.
Neither does he.
Now look, Maxie, leave us not make a scene. You know what I'm driving at. Why don't you just turn in your bar rag and leave quietly?
Well, what about the week's salary?
Well, you only been here 20 minutes.
What?
Okay, we'll pay you full week's salary. Let's see here. 20, 25, 30, 35. Hey, Max, 35 cents.
35 what?
35 cents. What did you expect, the blooms? And if you don't mind, I'd like a receipt.
Oh, you'd like a receipt, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, here. I'll give you one.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern, head of the action manager's ticket. Miss Archer? He just went out. Yeah, for about 10 moments.
That's Duffy's Tavern, a good broadcast, November 9th, 1945. And that starred Ed Archie Gardner along with Slapsy Maxie Rosenblum. Also in the cast, you heard Eddie Green, who was the waiter, Sandra Gould as Miss Duffy. Sandra Gould was one of the neighbors, Mrs. Kravitz.
Oh, right.
On
Bewitched.
Bewitched, yeah. Charlie Canner on that. Marvin Miller doing the announcing on a great broadcast of Duffy's Tavern. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. What do we have next week when we come back?
Well, Saturday night we have The Shadow.
Oh,
Fibber McGee.
People
and
have been asking for The Shadow.
I know, which is why we're playing The Shadow.
Yeah.
Fibber McGee and Molly and the Screen Guild Theater.
Right.
And on Sunday,
Hercule Poirot.
There you go. You can use your French accent.
Hercule Poirot,
and
the
one of
detective.
My favorites, the Charlie
Belgium
McCarthy Show.
He's a Belgium detective.
There you go.
Yeah, very cool. All right, so that's a good lineup. Great job, Lisa.
Thanks, Carl. We've got a big weekend with 5 hours more of radio next weekend. We've got Nick DiGilio in our new studios. How are you, Nick?
Hi, Nick.
How are you?
Great to see you.
Yeah.
What do you think of these new digs?
I love it.
It's really great.
You've been
great,
here all
right?
week. You feeling like it's home?
Yeah. You know, we did a bunch of recording over here when we were still over at the tower.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I've been familiar with this for about a month now.
Yeah, we're still, you know, settling in here.
Yeah. No,
we still have goose pimples because of it. We're over, you know, we came here yesterday for the first time before we did the show, and we were just like, oh my goodness.
But luckily,
it's unbelievable.
We have a producer extraordinaire, Ashley, by
yes,
with us.
Yes, we do.
So we had a good weekend.
That's good.
Yeah.
So what movie, if I'm going to go to the movies this week, what should I be seeing?
Well, I mean, you know, only one big movie opened this weekend, and that's Jurassic World.
Yeah, I saw it. Saw it.
Yeah.
Very, very good. I liked it.
I did, too. It's not getting phenomenal reviews, but I'm not a big fan of the Jurassic Park movies, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't like the first one very much. I thought the second one was good. The Lost World. I didn't like the last one, the Jurassic World.
The one before this one. Yeah. This is like the fourth one?
Fifth.
Fifth, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Fifth, because there were three original Jurassic Park movies, and then the fourth would be Jurassic World. That came out a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And now there's this one.
I liked it. I thought it had some really moments.
Here's the thing. The only reason that you should go and see those movies is to see dinosaurs eating people. I don't care about anything else. I don't care about the plot.
And
I don't care about the
characters.
Yeah, there's some quality people getting eaten.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all I care about.
And
I mean,
the bad guys always get eaten, and they always, savor it.
Well, the other thing about it is that they're, like, particularly big lineup of bad guys in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
There's, like, a ton of bad guys in it.
Well, it's the guy from, the serial killer from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, he's
the bad guy in it.
Chicago's very own.
Yeah. He's one
of the bad guys in it, because there's 12 of them.
Yeah.
Like, everybody...
He's like the main bad guy,
well,
I think, pretty much.
No, I think the guy who organizes the whole auction is the main bad guy.
I'm trying to think now.
The guy who was in charge of the old man's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
estate.
Right. The younger
That's
guy.
That's the main
that was...
bad guy in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have dinosaurs eating people, it's a success, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, then it's a success.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that in this
movie. It did really well over the weekend, too. Yeah. We'll talk about that.
So what's on the show this morning?
We'll review the new movies with Eric and Colin. We're going to talk about past summer blockbusters as well that have, the summertime blockbuster thing really was created by Jaws. When Jaws came out in 1975, that was the very first, we can release a movie in the summer. That's when we should release the big adventure movies. And then Jaws was in 75, and then in 77, Star Wars came out and cemented the whole thing.
Right.
As, like, that's the time you want to the time the studios want to release the big action and the special effects and the tentpole movies. So we're going to talk about summer blockbusters from the past.
All right,
as
very
well.
Cool.
And my dad's going to call in and tell a joke.